Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Welcome to the Drop the Needle podcast, your backstage pass to the corporate jungle. I'm your host, Jim Allstott, and here, industry titans step up to the mic, sharing their epic journeys. We're hitting the high notes and the low notes of their careers, creating a symphony of success. This isn't just another interview show. It's where truth bombs are dropped and secrets are revealed. So grab your conductor's baton, because who knows, this just might help you compose the next huge hit of your career. Are you ready? Let's go. That's right. Welcome to the Drop the Needle podcast. I'm your host, Jim Allstott, and I'm so happy y'all decided to join us. Today, we're diving deep into the mystical world of clairvoyance and spiritual healing with our extraordinary guest, Debbie Tatel. With over 35 years of experience as a celebrated clairvoyant, spiritual teacher, and healer, Debbie connects with human spirit like no other. In 2009, she founded Spirit Light Insight, a sanctuary for spiritual growth and healing that has inspired an international audience. Without further ado, please join me in welcoming Ms. Deborah Tatel. Hey, Deb.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. This is what an honor to be here.
Well, thank you. Thank you for making the time. I know you're a very busy beaver, so that's much appreciated.
Lately, it's busy and getting busier all the time.
Well, that's a good thing. As far as I'm concerned, that's always a good thing. What I want to do is preface a little bit about what we're going to go through, and I'll do that by first saying that I'd like everybody to really get a chance to know you as a person. So we'll talk about your background, and then we're going to talk about different tools that you can use to enhance your intuitive abilities, I will actually discuss energy healing, what it is, and how to go about clearing those personal blockages. And then one of the big ones that I want to talk about is something that you're involved with that's new to you in your new toolbox, or your toolbox, it's a new tool, is the Wellness Alchemy program. So we're going to talk about all of those things today, so everybody can buckle up, get comfortable, and we're going to get going here. So starting off, let's talk about you. So you've been doing this for about 35 years, right?
Well, way over that, but okay. Yes, more or less professionally that way.
Okay, gotcha. So when did you realize you had these gifts?
That's a great question, and I get asked that a lot. When did I realize it? I didn't realize it.
Really?
I just knew that there were things that I saw that other people didn't see. I just knew that I could sense people's emotions without knowing. I would say things growing up that, in fact, even today, sometimes I call them the dumb psychic things, where I just, you know, I'll be talking and I'll just say something that comes to my mind and it'll freak somebody out. And they're like, are you a mind reader? What's going on? And that's, you know, when I do that, to be honest with you, that's kind of a lack of awareness that I don't realize I'm picking up on somebody else's things. But when you're 8 years old and you're doing this, you can be shunned. You can be the outcast.
Yeah.
You know, you talk to people. So when you say, when do I remember? In retrospect, I will never forget it. I must have been maybe, let's see, my little brother was like 2.5 years younger than me. So I was probably 3 years old or 4 years old, because I remember he was still in a high chair. And I was in my bedroom and I was looking at my foot like a 4 year old might do.
Right.
And I saw this being, what I know now, again, in retrospect, I saw something that was like this big giant head, and it looked kind of like a weird clown, and it was really scary. And it bit me in the foot. Now, I was fully awake and it scared me to death, like that thing. So that's probably one of my first memories. But throughout
bit you
my
in the foot,
bit me did, in the foot.
So did it leave a mark or anything?
Nope. And when I described it to my mom, I said, well, there was a hole in my foot. There was just a little hole in my foot and there was something in there. And when I tried to get rid of it, it bit me.
Oh, wow.
Now, today, I know that's a complete, what we call transmedium experience, where I was trying to kick out a being that kind of made its way into my own space, into my own body. And in fact, into my foot chakra in particular, that energy center in the foot. And I was fully awake. So that's one of my first like memories. But I would see, you know, I take the quintessential, I see dead people to a whole new level. Because I would see relatives and things like that. I actually have memories that are absolutely 100% clear of being at my Aunt Esther's house with my mom, who swears to me she was never there except for when she was pregnant with me.
Oh, wow.
And
that's kind of cool.
I described the furniture and everything that was there. And I said, and I think that you have like this table or something that, and she's like, you're right. But the only time I was there was when I was pregnant with you. And those are psychic things. Those are clairvoyant things. You can see, you can sense. And then of course it goes from there. So that's kind of some of my earliest memories. Okay. I remember talking to the grass and the trees. And not crazy. It's not like they answered me.
Oh, no. That's not crazy at all that anybody would talk to grass.
Yeah, I mean, I would look at the grass and I would think it was the most beautiful thing that has ever been. And I could see the aura pulsing around it. I could see the aura pulsing around all living things.
Trees. Is that a labeled type of gift, like a particular clair, or is it just, I can read auras or I can see auras? You know what I mean?
I see dead people is mediumship.
Okay.
So that's what that's called. It's not a particular clair. Sorry, you'll have to edit out the cat. Sorry.
Oh, no, we probably, you know what? I'm all about whatever's happening is happening. So it's all good.
Good. You know, it's clear seeing. That's why I call myself a clairvoyant. Psychic actually means of the soul. So these are the soul gifts that everybody has. Clairvoyance is clear seeing. It comes from the French clair.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it's, in essence, I like to say that I'm seeing what's there.
Okay.
Because everything is energy. Everything is, we're not solid. We're a bunch of particles and molecules and cells that are magnetized.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so if you think of it that way, that everything is energy, I could see the energy around the energy.
That's cool. Yeah, it's, you know, that the whole theory about energy, I believe it was Einstein that said that energy can neither be created nor destroyed, right. which is really something that talk about a rabbit hole to go down someday. You want to sit around, you know, get some friends, have a couple of drinks and say, hey, let's talk about this for a while, you know, and then energy can't be created and energy can't be destroyed. So if we're all energy, what happens when we're not on this plane? So I have a group of friends that I can have that conversation with, like mm-hmm. you, for example. We could have a conversation about that for hours. And then I have another group of friends that are my buddies that I went to school with or previous coworkers that I don't dare say that because they would have no interest in that, you know? And they may, but I think that sometimes that male shield, ego, whatever you want to call it, kind of gets in the way. But anyway, one of the other things I'd like to ask you is about teachers or mentors, because people can have these wonderful gifts bestowed upon them. But I think in order to really leverage those skills, a lot of times people turn to teachers or mentors. Do you have or have you had teachers, mentors in your...
Yeah, so I actually went to a psychic school that was here in Chicago. That was kind of an offshoot of a school in California. So I did have teachers and mentors, but I quickly, well, not quickly, it takes years of practice to be able to clear and own your space and own your energy field and all of that, right? So I've had teachers throughout the years and I am constantly studying. Like I still am studying with various teachers. There's so much information. When I got into this, you know, 35 years ago, you know, guess what? It was hush hush. We didn't tell anybody about it. There was no information. Everything was all out in Berkeley and the hippies and the woo-woos and everybody doing acid and, you know, and going down the trip lane and, you know, all of that. And so it wasn't so prevalent. Now you can go online and there's a spiritual teacher at every corner and a mentor or something like that. I kind of stick with what I know because the folks that I tend to work with are all about us healing ourselves and opening up our own gifts so we can see for ourselves so that we can discern energy to tell the truth from the lie, to be able to focus, right? Yeah. So everyone is clairvoyant. But it's becoming aware of what we're already aware of that's tricky.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you liken it, I kind of liken it to if you ever have seen a Star Trek where they go to warp speed.
Yeah.
And suddenly the lights come, you know, come like that. And that is what's happening to all of us every single day. And now with computers and cell phones and we are never disconnected, it's even more so because the energy is in the airwaves. It's not just on our phone. It's on our computer. It comes at us. I'm a firm believer. I call it, you know, when they talk about earworms, you know, where you get a tune in your mind. I'm not a scientist or anything, but I call those rogue radio waves. I used to call them that since I was 16 years old, because I would walk by a house and I could hear the TV outside the house.
Really?
When I was little, and it was so weird because I would say to people, wow, they're watching, you know, such and such a show. And this is what's going on. If I was walking down the street with a friend and they're like, what are you talking about? Like, well, I can hear that. And so I used to call it rogue television.
Interesting.
Because it went through an antenna, right? These are all waves in the air. Now, of course, later on, I'm studying, I'm doing all this stuff. I have incredible, what they call clairaudience.
Makes
clear
sense.
Clear hearing.
Right, right.
So
totally makes sense.
That is one of the ones that I'm really sensitive to. And one of my old teachers actually used to play with me. I'd be at the school and I'd hear him say, hey, Debbie. And I'd turn around and go, what? And he'd start laughing and he never actually said anything.
Get out of here.
And we used to play these games all the time because he knew I was so sensitive. So he would like telepath me.
Today's sponsor of the Drop the Needle podcast is Airsign Oils. Discover the essence of comfort with Airsign Oils. Looking for a touch of natural luxury in your daily life? Airsign Oils, a local woman-owned business, is bringing the power of scent to your home and beyond. Indulge your senses with over 30 unique skin-safe fragrance oils and incense blends, like vanilla wood, a warm embrace in a bottle, coconut lemongrass, your personal tropical getaway, sage and chamomile, calm in every drop, lavender lemon, relaxation redefined. Feng Shui Earth, harmony in the form of a scent. Whether you prefer a few drops on your skin or a gentle mist from your diffuser, these carefully crafted scents transform any space into a haven of tranquility. And for incense lovers, Air Signs Oils, small batch creations, offer a full hour of aromatic bliss made with just two pure ingredients. Ready to elevate your sensory experience? Visit Airsign Oils on Etsy or follow at Airsign Oils on Instagram. Support local, indulge responsibly, and surround yourself with scents that speak to your soul. Airsign Oils, where comfort meets craftsmanship.
So, this may seem strange, but did you ever go back to that teacher and talk to him? Was it him?
Yeah.
Okay. So did you ever go back to him and say, hey, are you one of us? You know what I mean? Did you ever do that?
So when you say go back to him and say, are you one of us? I mean, it was something that he did specifically.
Oh, no, understood. But I mean, you were probably, how old were you when that was going on?
Oh, no, this was when I was at the psychic school.
Oh. I thought you meant like grade school.
I'm sorry. That's what I was saying.
Holy shit, somebody was
school,
playing.
That was its own special kind of.
Okay. So that's exactly what I was thinking. You're like, when I was 3 or 4, you know, I was in kindergarten.
Holy shit. So that's an interesting though dynamic, because when I was in school and studying history, so I have some psychic stories, like really some psychic stories, even from school. But one of the things that I was always fascinated with was the history of things.
Mm-hmm.
And again, in retrospect, I would remember my past lives. So
that's
when they would ask to write an essay, I would write these essays that were like really detailed. And of course they thought I was totally disturbed because I would go into graphic detail.
Well, that's beside the point.
Right. I'm clairvoyant. So, there's so much, so many layers and so many levels. And I think everybody has experienced like the invalidation of blurting out something as a little kid that their mom didn't want them to say.
Yep. happens all the time.
You know, or being in school and you say the wrong thing at the wrong time, or and you don't even know why you said it or where that came from. You could have been channeling something coming through you. You could have.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you that landed me out in the hallway the better part of my third grade year. Is I had no impulse control and would blurt things out. And yeah, I was in trouble quite a bit.
But I bet you said to them, I don't know why I'm doing that.
Oh gosh, no, I was battling the I'm in trouble deal. Yeah. Because you know, that was more of what was going on than anything else. But so let's talk about then some of your gifts, your laundry list of gifts. What would you say would be your go-tos when you're reading, you're doing a session with somebody?
My go-to. Okay. Well, first of all, I ground.
Okay.
So that's really important for everybody, because you have to be, you have to make your body safe in order to do the work. So you have to actually ground the body to make it safe enough so that you can move into the center of your head and actually see without feeling like there's some kind of threat.
Okay.
Right. So it's a focus.
And this would be when we're talking about the different tools you can use to enhance your intuitive abilities. This would be like step one in that, or
step. Absolutely.
Okay.
Step one is to grab.
Oh, so happy.
She is. I don't know what she's. I don't know what she is. Hang on one second.
Jen Weigel's dog Birdie, whenever she hears certain people in there or there's some energy work going on, Birdie just jumps right up on Jen's lap and is like all over her, and she's like,
she's
no. So we're in step one of, or the first tool that you would use in order to really start to enhance your intuitive abilities.
Yeah. So the first thing I do is I ground. I create a connection from the base of my spine to the center of the planet. And I just start to release everybody else's energy, everybody else's stuff that I've picked up along the way. That's just the first thing. And then really, I use the center of my head a lot. This is, I call it the seat of your soul, in the center of your head. It is a place, a spiritual sanctuary, a place where we can be neutral, because we want to be able to look and see what's there, not what we want to be there, not even what that person. A lot of times someone will come to me and say, well, I want you to look at this, but it's connected with 20 other things down the road.
Right.
So I have to be able to open up that space.
So how do you, okay, so I get the grounding and then clearing the energy. My question, actually, I don't get it. So my question is, how do you do that?
You just do it.
Okay.
There's.
I mean, do you meditate?
Of course, yes.
Okay, there we go. Okay.
So I meditate to clear that space. And really, a lot of it is just acknowledging what's there, being able to see it. Like, how often do most of us sit in a space of distraction? We want to play computer games, or we want to binge watch TV. That's when we are not present. So I guess the better answer is, yes, I meditate, but also I bring myself into complete present time.
There you go. Okay.
Because you have to, if my mind's in the future thinking about what I'm going to have to do or something that I'm lamenting about in the past, I'm not in the present for my client. And I'm there for them 100%. And I want to be able to have all my senses, let's say, fine-tuned. So okay. I suppose you could say, it's actually called running energy. Right. And that's what I teach in my meditation classes. And it all comes back to being able to be in your own flow and the flow of the earth and the cosmic energy.
Okay.
Yeah. So I could take you through there. There's a really fun, you want a fun thing to do?
Yeah, because
then your audience, if you want to know exactly how well this works. So go ahead and close your eyes.
Not if you're driving.
And Jim, you can close your eyes. That way you're gonna do this with me. And I'd like you to just be aware of your body, your physical body. And just if there's any kind of, pain or anything, just breathe into it. And then go ahead and rest your eyes, but move your attention into the center of your awareness, into the center of your head. And that is exactly where it sounds like, right in the center. Sometimes you can tap your forehead and kind of put yourself in that space. And then I'd like you to imagine out in front of you, just kind of visualize a lemon. And look at how the lemon is out in front of you, out in front of your eyes, and you might see it glistening. Maybe you wash the outside of it and there's some dew drops and there's you can see the little puckers in the skin of the lemon, just all the details about the lemon that you can see, right? And then just notice the fragrance of the lemon and just see, what that is like. It's usually pretty pleasant. And just really have that in your mind. And then in your mind's eye, you can go ahead and just cut that lemon in half and look at the beautiful pulp on the inside, how juicy it is, how amazing it would be to make lemonade with it. And just the beauty, that particular color, whatever color that is for you. And then I want you to just imagine that you're taking your hand and you're taking one of the halves and just notice how it feels in your hand. And then I want you to take a giant bite out of that lemon. And what happened? And you can open your eyes, but what happened when you did that? When you took the bite out?
My mouth is still puckered.
Your mouth is still puckered. Maybe you were salivating.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what's going on.
But what you were doing in effect is you were focusing your attention on that space.
That's very cool.
And the body reacts to mental image pictures always.
Yeah. Can't tell the difference between what's real and not.
Right. So with everything being energy, you get to look at somebody and focus and see where they are and where their real spirit is. And part of the, part of the gift is being able to say hello, to give a spirit to spirit hello to that person, because they may never have had one before. So all of this, you're asking about the process, but it's so much more. It's so, it's not that it's hard. In fact, I call it a psychic kindergarten. It's very simple, right? I just had you look at a lemon, but your body reacted. So if I'm going to start to say hello to you as spirit, and I can get that color, the mm-hmm. color vibration where you are resonant with your original essence, what you came here, not all the experience that you had or the programming from your mm-hmm. parents or anything like that. I'm going to say hello to your spirit, and it might be sapphire blue, and it might be aqua or turquoise or pink. And then once just even my attention on it, even if I don't say it, it starts to create a healing space because you start to remember who you are. So it's less of a process per se and how to get there than what happens once you start that process.
Gotcha.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. So, when people are, especially I believe when people are starting out and starting to refine and build upon their intuitive abilities, they come across roadblocks. And I know that, you know, roadblocks could be individual to that person, but I also know from listening to different groups and, you know, podcasts and shows and things of that nature, there is some commonality between those roadblocks. What are some of the typical roadblocks that you would maybe help somebody get past in your teaching?
Roadblock. Wow. Well, I think sometimes that there's energy, and this is not to knock any group or what they're teaching mm-hmm. or anything. I'm not in competition with that. But part of what I sometimes have to do is deprogram information from people. They don't have the freedom to see for themselves. Mm. There's a lot of spiritual like rules or, you mm-hmm. know, oh, you got to protect your boundaries, you know, take out your gun and
yeah.
don't you dare cross my line.
yeah, yeah.
You know, things like that. Right. Well, one of the things I teach when I have people kind of learn where their boundaries are, because most of the time people don't know where they are.
Oh, for sure.
Their own boundaries, let alone other people's.
Right.
And other people are going to get in your space mostly because you let them.
Right.
And because you don't know where the edge of your aura is. Right. Yeah. So a lot of times, once I start to teach people to where their space is, those are some of the stumbling blocks that happen. Because if you're saying, you get out of my space, don't you cross that line, you're in resistance.
Hmm.
And we all know about resistance.
Right.
What you resist persists.
Persists, right, right.
But if you learn what your essence is and you pull all that in, right, around you, think of it this way. If I fill this glass with water, nothing else can get in there.
Right.
So,
you're going to empty a little out right now.
We'll hydrate.
Yeah.
So those are some of the blocks. What I notice some of the blocks really are, I see a lot of parental programming. And by programming, what do I mean by that? Programming are those things that are really from our parents. You're going to grow up, you're going to get married, you're going to have kids. That might be something you want, or that might be something your parents told you to do.
Right.
Programming is great when you've got a 2-year-old or 3-year-old and you're walking across the street, hold my hand, look both ways. Those are really good programmings, right?
Sure.
It's like, so now your kid Survival. Grows up and right. they look both ways and mm-hmm. or they hold your hand and they're safe. Right. So these yeah. are some of the, I know that seems like a simple block, but sometimes we get programmed and to go through other people. Oh, your teachers know better than you.
Yes. And so I can, two things with that. Number one, I just had a severe case of deja vu. And I was like, I started to ask myself if we already had this conversation. Did we already discuss this pre-show stuff? And I was like, we didn't. I know we didn't. And then, so back to the other with the believing that the teacher knows better than you about you. That happens all the time because
right.
well, I can speak firsthand where I'm so new at all of this. I don't know anything, but the fact of the matter is kind of like you were saying earlier, you've been doing this for the better part of your life and you know you, and that teacher doesn't necessarily know you. So it's, I think it really boils down to then you being able to identify those those gifts, maybe that the teacher or mentor is providing you and how they relate to you. And then you interpret them yourself to make sense to you, because what makes sense to you may not make sense to somebody else.
Right? Exactly.
Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's part of it. No, but it's part of it, but we all have certain programming that, that one's a little bit challenging because I can see it in people.
Mm.
You know, very often, like, men will teach their sons how to be, or women will teach their daughters how to be.
Yeah.
Right. And then what happens is, if the person wants to go against that, you know, maybe that's not what they want. Maybe, you know, they don't feel like they're in a male body, or they're in a female body, or,
sure,
you know, whatever that is. And those are all constructs.
Mm. Okay.
Right.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying.
So the blocks, you know, if you want to ask, what do people come to readings for?
Yeah. What do people come to readings for?
Love, money, career. Those are the top three. Those are the top three almost 100% of the time. Wow. And then I read them and I start to help them clear, you know,
the other stuff grief that they really from losing need
their to, mother right. and yeah. all of that. And it really is really very interesting. But personally, I've always been interested in the body. I get people who have migraine headaches, or I tend to have a lot of clients who are in places that have very structured rules. You know, I can't help it that I always questioned authority, but that's just me.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. You're going, yeah, I know that one too.
Yeah.
But it, you know, and they're healing themselves so that they can make their way in the world without anxiety, because sure. they're going to make a mistake, or they're going to step out of the rules.
Yeah.
And it can be at so many different levels. Genetically, I can see if someone had relatives who died in the Holocaust, or who were in the Holocaust.
Really?
That is passed down genetically. I can see that fear in that person. And when we clear it, they will then often explain to me they've been in fear their whole life and didn't know why.
Can we go down the rabbit hole on that for a second?
Sure.
Because we talk about genetics, and I don't know if it's epigenetics is what it was called, when your things are transferred down through your ancestral DNA,
which is
where I was having a conversation with somebody about that. And it hit me that could be one reason that people have experiences of past lives, because it's on that cellular level or DNA level that something else happened to them. Well, why is this dream so vivid? And so that opens up the debate as to whether or not there were past lives that person experienced it, or was it somebody that was, let's say, Great Aunt Sally that
can be either or.
Right. Right. So then how do you discern between the two, or does it really matter? I guess, you know,
Well, without giving away, you know, all my
all your goodies,
all my goodies. Honestly, I just have a knowing about it.
Okay.
When I see it, I can see, oh, this is you at this particular point in time. But keep in mind that as a soul, we might have made these agreements. So we might have been in this genetic line for a time.
Yeah.
But I see both. I think my favorite is reading people and saying, you know, you have this ancestry, you know, where you look like you were Irish or Scottish or, you know, whatever, Eastern European, you know, you were from Turkey. And they're like, no, none of my family's from there. And then I'll get some email that says, wow, I did ancestry DNA, you know, testing, and oh my God, I'm like 30% Turkish. So somewhere in my life, That is so much fun. That now I don't look for that validation. I just see it. But
no, but that's cool though, because so then, cool. Well, probably more so for them than you, especially since you don't need it. But you know what? Some people need that though, right?
People want to know what they're connected with, you know, and look, here's the thing. Not everybody was Cleopatra or, you know, Pharaoh or Moses or any of those, you know, but to know that there's a connection.
Yeah.
At some level, I think is very helpful. When I do past life readings, I don't know if you ever had a past life reading from me.
Not from you, but interestingly enough, I wanted to get one, and there's somebody in the social club, Heather Sprigg, did one, and what happened was really interesting. I mean, it was certainly eye opening, and it explained something. So I had a I don't know what you call it when there's really no reason to have a fear of something. Let's say in my instance was a fear of height. Why would I have a fear of heights? I come to find out that, and this was me saying it. This was not her saying it. This was me saying it under hypnosis, that I jumped off of a building and killed myself.
No, dang.
Yeah, well, you know, it was okay.
I don't know. It looked to me like you were pushed off a cliff, but that's a different story.
I probably was, you know, maybe it's more than, probably died that way more than once, which is would make sense about the fear. But yeah, then the other one that was very interesting was about... you know, look down at your feet. What are on your feet? Where are your feet at?
Oh, that's a regression versus a past life reading.
Yeah, regression. Yeah.
That's a little bit different because from where I sit, now those can be helpful. It depends on, you know, what you're doing and what you're needing it for.
Right.
But when I do a past life reading, I look at some of the lifetimes, what you are accessing right now for your own wisdom.
That is different. Yeah.
That's completely different.
Yeah.
But it might be that, you know, you're a beggar and you only have one foot and, you know, whatever. Like it might be some weird thing. But
one-legged tap dancer.
Whatever. Yeah. I mean, you know, how many people, you know, many people come to me, you know, had these horrible lives, you know, because they were in a mystic school or something and they got killed for it or, you know, destroyed Atlantis or whatever the case might be. And
all the cool stuff.
All the kids are
destroying Atlantis.
Right, destroying Atlantis. Oh, I was there. I was a scientist. Sorry, y'all, but yes, I have seen that part of me. Very sad. But you know, when you blow something up. But you know what I say is, if you haven't been burned at the stake a couple of dozen times, you haven't lived.
That's right.
That's my, I love that statement. I've said that for years, but when I look at the past lives, it's amazing what we can retrieve or even what we're healing. I remember recently I was reading somebody, I don't remember who it was. I was reading somebody and I saw this like sword had gone right through their back from to the heart. But like they were skewered from the back to the front.
Huh.
And I started reading the life that they were in. And suddenly they're like, you know, this is really strange. Here's what people say most often. I can't believe you said that because I can't believe you just said that because I have had trouble with that shoulder my whole life and they can't find anything wrong. And I've had MRIs. And, you know, everything. And some people have scars that they don't know where they came from.
Shut the front door.
Yeah. So that's a really fascinating thing. In fact, some of the karma that we're going through right now is a little bit Civil War-y. And it's so I've been seeing a lot of Civil War wounds lately. people coming to me to get those healings. They don't know that that's what, you know,
sure,
what it is. In fact, even I don't know when they walk in the door.
Well, I mean, so with that, do you know how that comes to you, or do you prepare it for something like that? If somebody wants a past life reading, than you would for something else?
Nope, no different.
Okay.
No different. It's what I, well, when I do my readings, I tell people, let's say they're a first time, that I follow the bouncing picture is what I tell them. I follow the bouncing energy because I see in terms of pictures, like snapshots or a movie.
Yeah.
I also see color. So it might just be this flash of color that goes on and I go, oh, what's that over there? And I open it up, so to speak, and then a scene will open up or the information will open up. I also see in terms of vibration. This is my favorite thing to tell new people, is that when I see vibration, it's like, you know how in the summer when the heat radiates off the hood of the car?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's seeing vibration.
Huh.
You know what I'm talking about? You can always see it.
Absolutely. You see it off the road all the time.
So you're seeing at the road. Yes, it's on the road. So you're seeing energy vibrate. And when I look at you and your aura and I see vibration, it's like I look for where there's a disturbance in the force. Because your aura is whole and complete. You are whole and complete always. It's what gets in our space that is the disruptive.
Before we wrap up today's conversation, I just want to say how incredible it was to learn about Debbie's experiences over the past 30 years, starting with her first experience with something otherworldly biting her in the foot when she was just 4 years old, to how she picked up on others' energies and thoughts around her at such a young age. Debbie also shared some of her experiences from school and her time in psychic school. But guess what? We're just getting started. In part two of this conversation, we dive even deeper. You'll hear more wild and beautiful stories, more insights into energetic healing practices, and how Debbie's gifts are helping others all over the globe. So, be sure to come back for the next episode. You're not going to want to miss what's coming next. Until then, keep your heart open and your playlist strong. See you in part two.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.